Welcome to Windows Phone, learn from the winners. I'm joined by four accomplished developers who originate from four corners of the globe, but all have one thing in common. They run successful businesses building apps for Windows Phone, and they've won major app awards this year. I'll quickly introduce our panelists, ask them to demo their apps, moderate a panel discussion, open up question and answer to the attendees, and we'll probably give away a phone at the end, so listen up. Our first panelist is Aslı Turgut. Aslı is originally from Turkey. She works as a software development engineer on the Xbox team at Microsoft and develops apps with her husband, Dinel, under the developer name Aslıroid. Aslı participates in our employee developer program in which she and 10,000 other Microsoft employees are able to build Windows Phone apps, having their own businesses on the side, on the top of their work, building apps on nights and weekends. Each year we honor the top employee developers in a small ceremony we call the Appies. Aslı's app, Walkie Texty, won this year for the most downloaded app. In fact, she won the same award last year for another app, Flashlight X. She was also runner-up in two separate categories, including the highest rated app and the workhorse, an award that we give to the employee developer who has the most highly rated apps. Please join me in welcoming Aslı Turgut. Bernardo Zamora is our second member of the panel, and he's also from the Employee Developer Program. Bernardo Zamora is from Mexico City. He's been at Microsoft for 8 years and currently works in the Windows Phone division, working on developer monetization. Bernardo's app, Logo Quiz, was awarded most downloaded game at this year's Appies. Also, the second year he's won this award, last year he won this for LaserLink. Bernardo was also runner-up in other categories, including most in-app purchase revenue, the workhorse, and most downloaded paid game. All up, Bernardo has published more than 30 apps for Windows Phone that have in mass been downloaded 3 million times and been rated by more than 30,000 customers worldwide. Please join me in welcoming Bernardo Zamora. Eddie Cazelli is a California native, originally from Roseville, just 100 miles east of San Francisco. This year, he entered his app ProShot in the Microsoft-sponsored contest Windows Phone Next App Star. ProShot competed as one of 9,167 apps competing in the contest. These were from developers in 79 countries around the world. Just 64 of these apps were selected to compete in the final voting round that were chosen based on customer app ratings and a measure of app quality. From there, apps competed head-to-head in a tournament-style competition in which Facebook users voted apps either in or out of the competition. 600,000 votes later, there were only two apps standing, and the runner-up went to Eddie's much-heralded app, ProShot. Please join me in welcoming Eddie Cazelli. Our final panelist is Rudy Nguyen from Rennes, France. Rudy spends his days working as a software engineer at Orange and spends his nights, weekends, and frankly all of his free time developing apps for Windows Phone. He develops under his developer name, Rudy Nguyen. Rudy is a Windows Phone MVP and a Nokia developer champion. Rudy's app Wikipedia was the grand champion of Windows Phone Next App Star. All up, Rudy has published 14 personal apps for Windows Phone that in mass have been downloaded 3 million times and been rated by more than 60,000 customers worldwide. Please join me in welcoming Rudy Nguyen.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to ask each of the developers to demo their app, and we'll start with Aslı, who's going to demo her app, Walkie Texty.
So one day I was walking down the street with Yanel, and I was texting a friend because we were trying to find where the restaurant was. And then I almost bumped into a tree. And that's where we got the idea to do Walkie Texty. And I'll show you a demo of that. So we launch Walkie Texty, and then you're walking down the street, and you can text. Thank you. You can say, hello, build 2013. And then you can share this on Facebook or Twitter, whichever social networking you like, and hit send. And this will publish on the Twitter account that's in your Windows Phone. Or you can message someone. I'll just text Yanel real quick. And, oops, no SIM card. That's okay. So then you can go back and look at Twitter. see that you're actually tweeted, "Hello Build 2013." So this is the app. It's very simple. It just has a camera in the background. That's it.
Yeah. Great. Pedestrians around the world, thank you, Osley, for developing your app.
And teenagers.
Teenagers, I'd imagine. Great. Next is Bernardo Zamora, who's going to demo Logo Quiz.
Okay. Can you hear me? Okay. So I get ideas from many different places. One of my main sources of ideas is my research done with my teenager son. So I ask him what things he likes, what are the friends playing, what really is being popular in other platforms, what their friends are actually doing. So that's where Logo Quiz came from. And this is an app that it's been used by, I don't know, 2-3 million people to actually guess logos of companies. So as you start playing, you can actually choose a level, and then hopefully everybody knows what this is. And then you type it, and you get satisfaction and knowing that merchandising is actually effective and you know this logo. And then you can go on progressing up to 640 different logos. And if you get stuck, you always have hints. And then I have more than 3,000 different hints for all of them. So it is it's an app that is extremely successful because it can work. It is used by people from 80 years old and kids 12 years old from all around the world. And it doesn't require a lot of time spent. You can do a few of these logos and then come back the next day. And I've gotten emails from people, I don't know, in Sweden one day, it's 3 a.m. and it was a couple and they were still playing and they were stuck in a logo and they needed some help. So what's the last thing I want to say is that I have in-app purchase in the app. So if you get stuck, there's always a paid way of just making a little bit more progress and faster. So that's some of the things I've done to try to make the app more, even more usable for some people that might get stuck and just remove some of their frustration.
Excellent. Thanks, Bernardo. And next is Eddie Caselli, who's going to demo his app, ProShot.
Hello. Before I talk about ProShot, I first want to thank Microsoft for their awesome APIs and Nokia for making the best camera hardware on the market. Just made my job a lot easier. ProShot. Let's get started. ProShot is a lens app. It's designed to have a feature set similar to your traditional DSLR. At the top, ProShot UI is divided into two different spots. Thank you. ProShot UI is divided into two different sections. At the top is the mode panel, where you can change your camera mode. There's auto, program, manual, custom modes. Custom modes allow you to save and recall custom configurations that are settings that you maybe you find yourself frequently in a certain situation. You can use the custom modes to recall those settings really quickly. And all these modes are pinnable to the start screen. From the mode panel as well, you can choose the shooting modes. There's normal, burst, self-timer, time-lapse, and each of those modes have their own options. On the right is a settings panel. You can adjust stuff like contrast, saturation, focus, ISO, white balance. There's many different options, and they're all options that are relevant to the current camera mode. That's pretty much it. It feels very much like the default camera app in that you can swipe to the right and access the photos in your album. And there's also EXIF information at the bottom of the display. And there's an exposure slider. You can use that. It's very easy, handy to use. And there's also the ability to adjust the shutter speed. And that's ProShot.
Thanks, Eddie. Next, Rudy Wen will demonstrate his app, Wikipedia.
Yeah. Well, hello, everybody. I think that everybody know Wikipedia website. Yeah, I think. So my application is just a little application to have the possibility to read content from Wikipedia, to search content, and have some very cool features that I will demonstrate to you. Thank you. So, for example, this is my first time in San Francisco, so I don't know who, where I need to go. So I can click, for example, on the Around Me button. Searching. Okay, and it will display me all the important places around me with Wikipedia articles. So, for example, this place, I don't know. Okay, somebody died. Okay, and I have all the information about the article. I can have the same article with another language directly access to one section. And I have some cool feature, like, for example, a voice command. So I'm so sorry, because I'm not English, I'm French. So I will try, but I don't know if it works. So let's go. Wikipedia search.
Launch search.
Yes. Windows Phone.
WP is a series of proprietary mobile operating.
So this is a good way to discover something when you walk in the street, for example. You discover a place, so you say Wikipedia, search the name of the place, and it will speak the description of this place. And so.
Thanks, Rudy. A couple of follow-up questions about your app. Asli, how did you implement a text box when you have a constantly moving background?
Is this working? Okay. I tried to pick the colors that were most neutral and would have the least amount of contrast in the text box. So usually it's just gray, but a version of light gray on websites, if you have ever noticed. So my development experience in the web industry helped me to pick the best color for that. So it turned out to be gray on black. Black on gray.
Cool. Yeah. Bernardo, Logo Quiz is a crowded space with lots of competitors. How do you go about standing out among dozens of Logo Quiz apps in the market?
I think... top tips are first mover. I think it always helps to be first mover, but it's not necessarily the only thing. Also, I keep updating it every month or so based on the feedback that I get from users. So it could be good, but then after a year that it's been in the market, it's much better just because of all the feedback from 30,000 people. Yeah.
And you were actually second mover, correct?
I actually was second mover in that category, yes.
Eddie, how did you go about incorporating the viewfinder into your app?
The viewfinder is quite difficult. There's a really easy way to do it using Media Source, I believe. There's samples available online that help you with that. But if you want to use the full resolution that's available on the phone, you really have to go the native route. And there's some native calls to grab a texture, and I just threw that on a quad, and that's my viewfinder, and it allows me to leverage the power of native code DirectX and pump that through some shaders, and some cool effects can come out of that.
Awesome, thanks, great. So Rudy, among your other apps, you work with various third-party content providers, Wikipedia, 9gag, the band Daft Punk. How have you gone about building and maintaining relationships with content owners while you build and update your apps?
Yeah, for Daft Punk, it's very easy because they're French. Speaking about Wikipedia, in fact, my first application was named My Encyclopedia, and guys from Wikimedia Foundation, so the guys that make Wikipedia, contact me and send me, we like your application. You have some very good features, and it's free. Ad-free, so we want to help you. So we speak together, and they allow me to use the name Wikipedia, for example, or the logo Wikipedia, even if it's yellow and black, but it's a Wikipedia logo.
Great, thanks. Osley, most of your apps have two versions, so there's an ad-supported and a paid version. Talk to me a little bit about your monetization decisions and the relative success of those decisions. What have you learned?
So when we first started developing apps for the Windows Phone, we didn't know which one to do, either a paid version or a free version. So we decided to go with both. And turned out that a lot of people download the free version and they don't mind the ads at the bottom. And actually, the ads bring more money than the paid apps. But we still kept the paid versions out there for each of the apps that we publish because there are still users that want ad-free apps, and they're willing to pay 99 cents or $1.99 to just get rid of the ads. So it's all about making the users happy and us happy. So we just kept the same code, just don't have ads, and it worked out.
Bernardo, you use in-app purchase as a tool to monetize your apps. Has it been successful, and in what scenarios would you recommend that developers use in-app purchase?
Similar to Asli, I derive more than half of my revenue from ads, but that was the only source before. Now with in-app purchase, it's been really successful, especially in games or apps where you can help accelerate gameplay through selling more hints or solving automatically the logo. And also what's been helping me is that I offer different packages from 99 cents to $10. So you can cater to someone that just wants a little bit of help and wants to pay the minimum, but also if somebody really loves it, wants to get all the help and get infinite help, they're willing to pay that. So similar to that, make the users happy with many different alternatives, and it's been really successful for me.
Excellent. Eddie, along those lines, you've implemented trial in ProShot. Have you been pleased with your conversion rate, and what have you done to increase your conversion rate?
From the numbers I've been hearing out there, I think I'm quite pleased with my conversion rate. Can you ask the question again? I'm sorry.
Sure. And what do you do to improve your conversion rate?
To improve the conversion rate, I try to stop just short of giving them the full experience. I believe that ProShot is a premium app, and I don't want to give away the whole thing. It's really easy to just uninstall the app and reinstall it and pretty much just redo the trial period over again. So I offer every feature, but you just can't save any photos. You can capture a photo and view it in the camera roll and zoom in and see if you got what you wanted, but you can't save it. It's a really tough choice because many people want the full experience. Some apps out there offer like 3 photos as a trial, but I just feel like I want to establish that it is a premium product, and that's where I cut it off. But to get more, you say to get better conversion.
To improve the conversion rate.
I try to be really friendly about it when I ask them to upgrade. I say please.
That's great. Rudy, how do you get feedback from your users, but feedback that's actually useful that you can implement?
Yeah, up to now, I use the same system that holds the developer. I think it's email. My user has the possibility to send me email. But since my last application, I use another system. It's named User Voice. I don't know if somebody used that. Yeah. It's very easy to implement. It's very cool because, for example, when you publish an update and you are not lucky, there is a little bug. We are not perfect. We made bugs sometimes. When this is the case, we on Wikipedia, for example, a big application with a large number of users, you receive 200 emails each day to say, hey, there is a bug, fix it. So, and I try to answer all the emails, so it takes a lot of time. So since I use user voice, people have the possibility to see that I'm working on this problem. So it's not necessary to send me an email. And there's other thing like suggestion. They can post suggestion and people can vote if it's a good suggestion or a bad suggestion. So it's very interesting. So if you don't use it, try it. It's free and very easy to use.
Awesome. Excellent. For the next set of questions, I'll just put these out to the entire group and anyone can answer. Does anyone build also for apps for Windows 8?
Yes.
Yeah, I do as well.
Okay. No.
And a big APN photo?
No. Not yet.
Do you share code and how much and what's your process to maximize code reuse?
Let me take that. I've ported about 12 apps back and forth, 10 from Windows Phone to Windows 8 and 2 that started on Windows 8 and then moved to Windows Phone. I develop on C# and XAML. So the first time I did the port, they realized there are 4 or 5 functions that didn't work exactly the same, including saving settings, including some of the sounds. So now I created some libraries, some code that when I do the next ports, I just replace the calls with a new version that works on Windows 8 or Windows Phone. And that has helped me reduce time to port. It takes me at most a couple of weekends to do porting. I think what takes a little bit more time is just resize all the elements and get higher resolution images and reposition the elements for the larger screens of Windows 8. But it's a couple of weekends once you've done it a couple of times. It's easy.
Bernard, a quick follow-up. Is there any one of your 30 apps that you have on Windows Phone that you're most pleased with respect to the experience that you might see on Windows Phone versus Windows 8?
So is the question that it works better on Windows Phone? Or?
A good example of something that works well in both scenarios.
Oh, all the apps. The ones that I've chosen, I try to make the same experience in both. And both of them support finger, but touch. I think they work equally well. I haven't found any difference. It takes a little bit more time to optimize for Windows 8 because they have more variety of hardware. But the experience is as good or as bad, but in both platforms. So if you're using in one platform, you can move to the other one. You can even share the same high scores, export data. So it's pretty much the same code, the same experience.
Great. Anyone else care to touch on that?
We usually write tools and productivity apps for Windows Phone, so the apps that I do in Windows 8 are so different that you really can't move any code over.
Great. Does anyone take specific measures to drive up the number of ratings they get for their app?
Yeah, I think so. Personally, for example, when you launch my application for the 10 times, I display a very cool pop-up saying, hey, you like my application, try to rate my application if you like it. But this is important to have some button to say, no, I don't want to review, don't call me again. Because if you repeat again and again, people can rate and just put you 1 star or 2 star. So it's very difficult to have something very cool like that.
Any other ideas?
I do the same thing. And I think it's pretty powerful to do that because we have over 60,000 ratings on Flashlight X just because of doing that. But there is some risk of doing that too because sometimes people say very good, but you still get a 1 star. No, that's just the fun of it. So,
any other ideas? Guys, I'd like everyone to answer this. What's the most distinctively Windows Phone feature you use in your app that sets it apart from what it might look like on another platform? What's the most distinctively Windows Phone feature?
Mine's definitely the deep linking, the ability to pin individual camera modes to the start screen. That is not available on any other platform, and it's really awesome. It makes the app very convenient to use and very easy to get to what you need really quickly.
I utilize the built-in social features of the phone so that the user can upload their text to Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, whatever account that the phone supports.
Anything else?
Yeah, for me, it's the voice command. I like to add the possibility to interact with your phone without your hand. And I like also NFC. NFT is very cool to share content with other people. Yeah.
Bernardo, anything?
The most distinct feature is in-app purchase, but even more than that is the use of C# and SAML, which allows me to, as I mentioned, do it in both platforms. And I started 2 years ago knowing nothing, and it's been really easy to use. So that's not available on other platforms, and made my life much easier being in marketing. So that's I'm not an expert engineer. Yeah.
Got it.
And Blend. Blend is a very cool tool.
Okay, does anyone do anything? What do you do specifically that might be unique to reach more customers?
I am constantly Googling the name of my app. And, you know, I can choose, like, binging the...
thanks, Rudy.
The name of my app, and there's somewhere in Bing where you can choose between, like, searches that have, posts that have been made within the last 24 hours. So I see people on forums posting about my app, talking about it. Maybe they have questions or complaints or anything like that. And I register for some random forum and try to hop on and say, hey, I'm the developer. If you have a problem, please email me, or let's continue the discussion, or maybe start a post about cool pictures that you captured with my app. I also have a Weibo account. That's the China's version of Twitter. And a lot of customers come from China. Thank you, China. And they're really active community. They talk a lot. It's crucial if your app is in China to have a Weibo account to reach your users. And Bing Translate works, sort of. It works good enough to be able to communicate with them, even if you don't know the language.
Why do you have so many users from China? What do you think?
I think in other countries, photography is a lot more popular on phones. I mean, it's popular everywhere, but I don't know. I used to live in Hong Kong and Tokyo, and I mean, I feel like a lot more people were capturing and sharing photos in those areas than any of my friends in the United States.
But not everybody speaks English there.
Oh, no.
So you did translate your app?
Oh, yes. I have a business partner who's translated into traditional and simplified Chinese. Very important to translate your app. Localize.
So we have a couple of different ways to reach out to more users. One is we have a special page in each app that says our coolest apps, and it's pretty much all the apps that we have, and there you can find other apps that we've published. And one other thing is users can give feedback, so that way we don't reach out to more users, but it definitely affects our usability perspective, and those users talk more about our app to their friends and stuff. And second thing is we have a Facebook page for our most popular app, Flashlight X. We have like 3,000 likes on that too, which is strange. It is a way. And another thing that we did when we first launched and when Windows phones were mostly on the Microsoft campus, what we did was we printed out posters with a QR code and stuff. We basically went to every building on the Microsoft campus and put up the posters displaying advertisements for the app. And I think that helped launch a couple of them.
Smart. I have another question I just want to ask here before you move on. Because you're talking about reaching more customers. And I know that there's a whole set of Windows phones that are selling really well that are more affordable, that have sort of lower end specs. And I'm wondering if you guys do anything to optimize for those devices, and what sorts of things you have to do to optimize for those devices.
So we definitely had that problem in one of the apps, and we had a memory issue. So what we basically fixed that memory leak so that it could be used for the devices that had lower memory and lower specs. So it definitely helped us reach more customers. And another thing that we do is we have in-house ads when the general ad network is down. We basically display our own advertising, and we're part of Ad Duplex, that is basically cross advertising between other app publishers.
I also add use add duplex too, but going back to your question about memory, I think most of our apps have been downloaded millions of times, each of us. So when you are downloaded millions of times, you are used by millions of users, and they find every single bug. They find everything. And of course, as you mentioned, there are a significant number of phones that have, for example, lower memory. They still have a lot of memory, but lower than others. So the first versions, I really didn't care about that. I just built the app. But then when the new phones started to come up, we realized that I wasn't using memory efficiently, so I was getting a lot of crashes of memory exceptions in those phones, which is not bad, not good, because it drives lower rating, therefore it just impacts my whole score. So as soon as I found out, I'm tracking my reviews every weekend. I spent a couple hours reviewing all the reviews from all my apps, and I found that. So I spent a lot of time. If you see on the app, I display 80 images. So I was taking the same high-resolution images and putting them in a list. Well, first of all, I created small icons, just the exact size. Then I used a program to compress those icons even more, so they're very, very efficient. And then I used virtual lists, so only the right icons were showing as you move. So that made the app actually much faster and just everything faster and used a lot less memory. So those are just examples, but it was critical. Then immediately, my ratings started to go up again within a week or two. So crisis averted there.
Yeah, I want to echo everyone's sentiments about the importance of making your app run on lower memory devices. I got pretty lucky. The hardware is quite balanced for a camera app. But I did run into memory issues in that I was buffering a few images in the camera roll. So you just scroll to them, and they kind of have that kind of a continuous transition. But on lower memory devices, it would just run out of memory. There's also some random memory leak in some API that it just leaks a little bit of memory, and so eventually you run out. So on lower memory devices, I only put one camera roll image into memory, and the difference is barely noticeable, but it went a long way to making a lot of users in a lot of emerging markets very happy.
Yeah. To have the best performance, personally, I don't develop my application with my 920 Lumia, for example. I use my lower spec device to test and to develop. So if it works with lower device, it will be perfect with high devices. So if you have the two devices, test and develop your application with the lower device.
I'm sorry, that's a great point. I have about 8 phones at home that I purchased from like my first Focus that I had there, plus some I purchased on eBay, and so I tried many different variants every time I'm going to release a game just to make sure it works well. And for example, in Backgammon, I was looking at the saturation of the colors in the screen were very different. Some of the newer phones were extremely saturated and the others were not. So I actually adopted the colors and adjust them so it looks good enough in all the phones. And again, that's just a little thing, but when you have millions of users, all of that counts to make them happy.
Along those same lines, then, how do you make sure you're taking care of Windows Phone 7 customers while you're optimizing for Windows Phone 8?
Just quickly before you get to that, though, I just wanted to mention for folks who don't know, Nokia has an online service where you can actually try phones. You don't have to go buy every single phone. They've got an online service off of developer.nokia.com where you can actually go and try remotely the whole range of Nokia devices, and it remotes the images back so you can see how the performance is, and it looks like Eddie might have tried that out.
I was just going to mention that.
As most of my apps revenue is driven from ads, I do want to make sure that my app is available to as many users as possible. So I've always supported a Windows Phone 7 version, but really most of the new features and enhancements are coming in the Windows Phone 8 version. In my apps, more than half of the downloads are already coming from Windows Phone 8 users. So that's where the feature is going, but I still want to have a good enough version of Windows Phone 7 to take care of those users. But there are many features like in-app purchase only available in the new version, so that's where you'll see most of my innovation.
Is anyone using multiple ad services on their ad-supported models? How so?
We do. First, we go with PubCenter for Microsoft advertising. And if the if it crashes or it's not filled or anything, we fall onto Nokia Ad Exchange. If not, then Smato. If not, then AdDuplex. And then finally, if network is down or something, we just display our own ads that we've uploaded on the app.
Do you use the ad rotator, or you built that yourself?
No, we just built that ourselves. I made the images.
I mean, the system to fall back.
Oh, yeah. It's just, you know, a bunch of if-else statements. Okay. Yeah.
I have a question. Do you guys work with professional designers, or do you do the design yourself, or how do you handle that, actually?
I think I've mentioned it in a couple of sessions. I love design. I think I'm a great graphic designer. In reality, I'm not. So when I started looking, So I ended up hiring some designers first for a logo for Bagamon, and I tried 99designers.com or designcrowd.com, and for a couple hundred dollars, I got a graphic design that was 10 times better than what I could do. So and also have a day job. So now all my sounds and all my graphics are outsourced. And while I'm working, they are, or sleeping, they're working, vice versa. And then on the weekends, I get everything through Dropbox, and I just get it in, and I have all the designs. And for the amount of money you have to spend, you get some 10 designers working for you. It's really great.
I actually think that I'm a great designer. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, most of the users want the icons to be metro-looking. Or if you know, the modern looking icons. So they're usually very simple to create. And what I do is I got a tablet, a bamboo tablet, and I just do it by myself. But if I ever do game development, I will go with the way Bernardo is and hire a professional designer.
I don't know if I'm a great designer, but I work alone because the thing that excite me with Windows Phone development is to create new control, new user experience. So when I create a new control, I imagine I try to have a better UI for my control and for my application. So I work alone. I don't know if it's good, but it's that.
Let me add one thing. I came to the realization that I really should continue just developing and not signing, because I was reading one of the forum postings, and there was one report from my first solitaire game that said, your game is just amazing. The graphics are terrible. I mean, they're just awful. And he still gave me 4 stars, but then I realized I needed to do something, and that's when that started the whole thing.
Yeah, it's very important to listen to users and hear what they're saying. If they really are the truth. You know,
I show all of my work to everybody I know and meet on the street and everything, and I just say, what do you think of this? And I try to get a lot of feedback from people. I do everything on my own. I'm very lucky to have that luxury for the time being to just kind of, I don't know, disappear in the world of GIMP and try to come up with something, or just play around in XAML. And
I have one question for you, Azalina. I don't think I gave out your statistics earlier, but her collection has amassed 6 million downloads, but most from your big hitters, from those that have had your big hits. So how do you find what's going to be the next big hit? And have you thought things were going to be big hitters that ultimately haven't really got on?
So we knew that Flashlight X was going to be a big hit, because at the time there were no real apps that emitted light constantly. So we knew that was going to be a big hit. But after that, that's that challenge. Like, how do you get the next Flashlight X kind of hit, right? So that's a constant challenge for us, and we're still struggling for that. And we realize that we can't just keep developing tools and productivity apps all the time, because they're not being and go with the freemium business model, because not everyone opens a calculator, every day and stuff. So we have a couple of ideas that we're developing right now. I can't really talk about that, but you'll see when it comes out. But, you know, it's really difficult to come up with the next big hit. But we try to look at what's out there in the iOS marketplace and what's out there in the Android marketplace. And even now in the Windows Phone marketplace, there are lots of tons of apps that have already been made. So sometimes you look at apps that are made, a good idea, but they're not well executed. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no rule that that tells you as a developer out there, you have to be respectful, like someone has made that app already, you can't really go into their shoes and, you know, push them out of the way. Like in the app world, it is a reality that someone else might come in and, you know, take over that idea and be a better, have better ratings. So we're just watching out for those kind of things. And it's not like we're stealing people's ideas, but, you know, it's always being empowered by other developers around you.
So a better execution of the same general concept.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about making the users happy. Like if that developer is not looking there at their reviews and listening to the users, then we say, oh, these users are complaining because, you know, their design is horrible. They can't really, they have to click four times to get to a page. So let's just make that better. And if the idea is good, we just do that.
Okay. Guys, with 20 minutes remaining, I want to open it up to the crowd for questions about these specific apps, any app in their portfolio or development in general. I think we can start to the left, Larry.
There's a mic in the middle, too. Folks can come up, too. Why don't you go first and then.
Go ahead. I was trying to find out the income. Is it fairly steady or is it very much up and down, seasonal or
steady?
Steady, except as in all other stores, in December, January, it went up significantly. The rest of the year is fairly steady, though every month it goes up 10, 20%. And except January, again, because of the peak, then it's flat, but then it's 10, 15, 20% going up for several months. Yeah.
So we rely on the ad model to generate most of our revenue. And because advertising is dependent on the eCPM values, it obviously fluctuates day to day. So there is no, constant revenue for us.
First mic.
Sure. So would you guys each give us an idea how your most famous app became famous? Hopefully not the one that was after the other famous one. But in other words, what should I do to make an app that gets downloaded a million times? And please, don't say make it beautiful and they will come, because that doesn't happen. But what did you guys each do to make your most popular app popular?
I'm not going to talk about the most popular app, but I'm going to talk about a scenario where that we had that. So we were working on battery meter, and we already had that idea in Windows Phone 7, but the SDK didn't allow it. So we were waiting for Windows Phone 8 to come out so that we can publish the app. We even had a beta available in Windows Phone 7 and everything. But the week that the SDK launched, we saw that in the store there was already a really, really good battery app. You know, it was already in the market, had really great reviews. So we immediately, you know, tweaked our code a little bit and then published it on the market. But it wasn't, and like, visually it's not as good as the other one. But it was simpler for one thing. So sometimes users like simpler apps that in that case. But the actual thing we did was we actually sacrificed some money, like a serious amount of money, to run campaigns in AdDuplex and other cross advertising platforms. Because, you know, Pop Center, NAX, Matwell, like, none of the advertising providers have 100% fill rates. And they don't always have ads in each market. So you need to take advantage of that and use that opportunity to fill up your advertising space at all times to promote your either your own apps or others' apps so that your app gets promoted in other phones as well. So that's what we did.
Anybody else want to give us the trick
I just worked really hard. I don't know. I was obsessed with my app from the moment the idea came to my head. Obsession was the key, and I just kept working at it. And I kept adding features and trying to find workarounds for bugs in different APIs. And just obsession was the key. You live with the app, and you find out what works and what doesn't. And people will, that resonates with the audience. I mean, if you live with it, you know how it works, you know how other people use it, and then that'll help you make a better app. First to market really helps. Or second to market. And watch your competition, see what they're doing, and do it better.
And talk to people on Twitter, like
you said. Oh, yeah, be involved with the community. Get on the forums. Get on like WP Central and just say, hey, here's my app. Do you like it? Let's talk about it. And yeah.
Let me add something else here. I have thought about several ideas that I wanted to create apps, because all of them I wanted to be like a million downloads reach. And let's say top 10 apps on Windows Phone. And all of them, I put my heart in them. I polish them so they're perfect. Some of them are really sinking. Some of them really not doing that well. And some of them are extremely popular. There's no formula that I can say. I ported them to Windows 8. And I mean, I already knew the formula. I knew which one were successful, were not. I ported them. It's totally different there. For some reason, I don't know if it's in the order of the list there or the type of users that have Windows. The same functionality in Windows. My most popular app is Solitaire, which is not in Windows Phone, and vice versa. The in Windows, the Dots application, nobody uses that one. So there's no secret formula, but I try to put my heart in each of them to make sure that it's available to as many users as possible, that kids can play it, other people can play it, it's available in different languages to try to maximize my possibility of success. And I have a portfolio approach. If one of them is not working, well, fortunately, I have others that I can depend on. So it's the best thing. Oh, I advertise in a duplex. I advertise between themselves. I have a web page. I have sent emails. I mean, everything you've heard about today, my wife really doesn't like me to spend all my weekends on that, but that's what I do on the weekends.
Yeah, he's a pro on that, right?
You have to do that.
One other thing that I want to add is we have a send feedback link in our app, and we get tons of emails from there. And we try to respond to each of them individually. I mean, with thousands of emails you get every day, you really can't respond to everyone. But sometimes, you know, it actually makes that special connection with your user, and they feel really connected, and they want to use your app all the time, like after that point. So it's more about listening what the user needs to say.
Gentlemen to the left, I think, has been waiting. Go ahead.
I know that localization is very important. So I wonder how you guys localize your app. Do you guys use Bing Translate, or you guys use a translation agent? And how much does it really cost to translate an app? And what is the process doing it?
Okay. I think that Bing or Google Translate is not a good idea, because user wants the best application and not just an application with something that I think bad translation is not good for your application. If you don't speak the language, don't try to use Bing translator for that. Keep English for that. I have an advice for that. For my last application, I launched a beta test, and a lot of my users send me an email and say me, hey guys, I like your application, I want to translate it. So try to have a connection with your user, and if he like your application, he will help you and send you perhaps some translation or tips for globalization, for example.
To the middle and then to the right.
All right. Quick question. You kind of touched on a little bit. I was wondering how you manage your testing of your applications as far as other people. I mean, the store has the ability to make a private beta link. Do you make use of that, and how has that worked out for you?
We definitely make use of the beta link and send it out to our close group of friends to try things out. I'm the main tester in our application development process, and also, like, it's more of a manual testing. But another thing that we do is we take the exceptions, errors, crash reports that occur during the app lifecycle, and store that in isolated storage. And next time app opens up, we populate a kind message to the user, say, hey, something went wrong last time you used this app. Would you like to send the error report to the developer? And you would be surprised, but we get a lot of crash reports from that route. And sometimes users just haven't updated it in a while, and we just say, please update. You know, we fixed this bug already. So we caught a lot of bugs through that process.
Thank you.
I also use the beta testing. Every time I release an app, there's always 10, 15 users that are extremely passionate about their app, and they send me good, bad feedback. So I keep in touch with them. So whenever I release a new one, I send them the link through beta. And in worst case, you get 5 or 6 tips to improve it. It's simple, easy, it's there. Just do it. It doesn't cost anything.
Hi. Ashley, you told us that it's a good idea to get an application that is badly implemented and redevelop it. Mm-hmm. And all of you four, you are the most successful Windows developers. And why any one of you has thought to build us an amazing Facebook application, better than the mobile side?
So I definitely thought about doing that. And actually, when I was a developer at MSN.com, I was doing a side project for work to have a Facebook app for MSN. And it was just like a really not an official thing. It was just a side project on my own. And I realized that the Facebook API for the Graph API is not very performant when you just like, I was using just my own account for this. And I have around like 800 friends on Facebook, so going paginating through like 800 friends and their interests and likes and whatever, it's just not performant. That's why I just garbaged that idea. Another one we could have done is just get a web view out there, or an iframe, just put the Facebook site on there. But you know, people have done that already, and they're not getting the best reviews. So.
We spoke about beta, but in fact, Facebook has also a beta application. So if you try the beta application, and if you don't like it or you think that there is something missing, write them an email. Because there is some developers like us that read your email, and perhaps if you give some feedbacks, the public application will be better, I think.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And if you do have concerns about the built-in Facebook, like not the official Facebook app that's built by Microsoft, get in touch with us and we can hook you up with the right contacts for your concerns. And they are working on a new version, I believe. So,
yeah. In the middle, thank you.
Okay, I'm from the team of UC Browser. It's also an App Star team. So my question is, did you ever try to find out where your users come from before they click a link, go to the App Store and download, go to the marketplace and download? So do you have find a way to know how which link they click, which campaign was taking effect? Yeah. You ever tried that?
Yeah, it's true that on some other platform you have the possibility to know from when where come your users. So no, I have no solution for that. I don't know.
Actually, if you go to your dev center and look at all the download statistics, you can filter by locale. So that way we know, like, you can export it to Excel and look at all the numbers, how many have downloaded paid apps from China, how many download free apps from Germany, etc.
By country, but there were no by style or by page or something like that.
Oh, no. But I'm sure there are third-party libraries that you can implement that will give that information, no?
Can find that.
No, I'm not sure. Yes.
Don't the marketplace don't have such information.
Yeah, I think there's some Microsoft guys here. So I think that here you and perhaps in some months we have say, the possibility, because I'm okay with you. This is something missing today.
So, I mean, you still have your geolocation API capabilities within the SDK. So if you really want that feature, you can just go and implement that.
Oh, we have that. Okay, I have another question. Does your app also implement the URI call? That's like an app can call and launch your app. So your app can, under some situation, you can call back. If yes, how do you find the people and app to cooperate with? Because currently I'm look for one example. I'm currently looking for the developer of Flash Video. So maybe we can have a cooperation with them. But after it took me 2 weeks before and still cannot find him. So usually which community or something do you think is more effective in fighting cooperation?
I don't understand the question very well.
Of trying to get in touch with other developers?
Yeah.
For a problem or for a collaboration?
Cooperation? Actually, me focus on cooperation, but I was thinking both.
Okay, I think that hackathon is a good way to meet other developers. I know there is an hackathon at this event. Another way to contact your Nokia developer champion or local MVP, for example. I come from France and there is some guys here. I created the French community of Windows Phone developer. We are more than 1,000 users speaking every day about problem, about tips. So, perhaps search on Facebook, search on LinkedIn, for example. Contact your Nokia developer champion or Microsoft DPE, see if you have that. And if you don't find a community, create it. Try to create it. Create a group on Facebook and
try that.
So guys, like, we're getting a little bit close to time. We don't want to keep you late. But before we have a phone to give away too.
One last question.
We can stay. Here. We'll stay after for your question. But the one, so we're gonna have a question I'm gonna ask in a minute that reflects something that we just discussed. And the first person who can answer correctly will win a Nokia Lumia 920.
Can we participate? No.
No, you can't participate. Oh, please. You've won quite a few things from us. before we get to that. I do want to mention Rudy's work on the wall of phones, which you may have seen in the big room, because we have this amazing, it's 200 phones, 201 phones, all working in unison. Rudy, can you tell us just a little bit about that for like 30 seconds, 45 seconds?
Yeah, in fact, it's very simple. It's 200 phones that communicate together using a multicast socket, and you will be able with your own Windows Phone to manipulate the map and display a giant Bing or ear map. We have a second way to interact is to display all the top apps from the Windows Phone store. So if you have a top app, perhaps we will see it on the wall. So it's available in the big room. Come and we can speak together how it's work.
Yeah, if you haven't seen that, I highly recommend you go by and take a look at it before you go. Okay, so it's time for the giveaway of the Nokia Lumia 920.
And I would say by raising your hand, please, back to kindergarten. Otherwise, it'll just be a massive.
Yeah, we don't want to cause a fight. So the question, okay, so here it is. We're going to pick on Rudy again. What does Rudy feel about automated translation services like Bing and... Oh man. Brian, you get to pick.
Jeez. First one I saw was in my peripheral, but over.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
I think that's what he said.
it can't help, but it's not a good idea.
I believe that is correct. But the other thing I want to mention, though, is that there is this new multilingual toolkit, which you may have heard of. Amazing. Sometimes entering into localizing your app is better than nothing at all. It's a good place to start. It does use the Bing Translation Service to automatically help you translate your resource files. So I don't know if you guys have seen this. In the context of Visual Studio, it plugs into Visual... Yes?
I'm actually the program lead for that project.
Yeah.
Hello?
Major props to you guys. I mean, we totally
yeah, for
it's awesome.
For some app like Flashlight X would benefit from that.
Yeah, let me add one thing. There are online services that translate word by word specifically for apps, including, I think, tetras.com. So you can actually buy a professional human that does translation.
Thanks, guys. And a round of applause for all of our developers
yes.
in the panel.
Thank you.